ahead and look now, if you would, to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to give here just a, again, what I call a standalone message here. It's called Lessons from Jesus' Mother. We're here again to honor our mothers. This will be a message that will pertain to all people that are here today, but especially to our women, all the females, all the future mothers, all the mothers and grandmothers as well. There'll be some good things we'll see here from the Word of God, because Mother's Day is a bit of a sentimental day for many people, but it's actually even much more than that as well. One of the challenges that mothers face is their children, as they're younger especially, don't have very many filters on their mouth. They will say some things sometimes to actually embarrass their own mothers in public or at gatherings around Thanksgiving or Christmas or gatherings like that. I know back when I was only about a 6 or 7 year old young boy in Missouri, my grandmother was there sitting next to me having her birthday. I made the mistake and I said, "How old will you be this year, Grandma?" And she just kind of had a stern look on her face I'd never seen before. Said, "You never ask a woman her age." And so I did not find out she was going to be 71, 72, whatever else there. You don't ask a woman her weight. You don't ask her her age. And it's probably something else you don't ask her about as well. But I haven't learned that yet. Is that right? All things else are kind of open game. But I know that children have very few filters on their mouth. They'll tend to sometimes to see folks that may be a little bit hefty in a grocery store, maybe be a male, and say, "Is he expecting too, Mama?" And just say, you know, say some things sometimes that can really embarrass their parents. And so you got to imagine again that Jesus Christ himself never said anything inappropriate to his own mother, as far as the Bible records that. But he did say some very radical things to his mom. We're going to see some photographs, some pictures here of some of the conversations that Jesus actually had with Mary, his mother, and see from that, what is God saying to us perhaps today about some things that God wants to relate into our lives. If you are a mother, a grandmother, a female, especially here, this is going to relate to you guys. So please write some things down in your bulletins. I'm not sure if Cheryl mentioned as well, but there is a perforated paper on your bulletins. If you're here for the very first time, please make sure you fill that perforation out and go ahead and tear it off, of course, and put it in the hands of one of our ushers that are towards the back as you leave today. And also, I believe there may be a gift here from Maria for you if you're a first-time guest. Maria's right here. She has some gifts for you that are first-time guests. We're going to welcome you here today if it's your first time to be here. We're going to look at three pictures mainly of Jesus and his interactions with his own mother, things he said and things he thought about, things he talked about, and ask ourselves today, what is God saying to me through the conversations Jesus had with his own mother? Let's look now at Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 46, verse 47, the New King James Version. It says, "For while Jesus, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said to him, 'Look, your mother, your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you.'" Now, what do you think that Jesus would actually say back to them? What do you think he should have said? What do you think he should be on his mind, on his lips? We might say, think of something very, very polite, something very, very honoring, but these words come back out of Jesus' mouth towards those that were standing near him that posed this observation to him. Verses 48 and 50 say this, "But he answered and said to them," the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." Now, Jesus Christ right now is at rock star status as far as being popular in Jerusalem and around Israel goes. You would expect him, perhaps the natural realm, to take this opportunity here to honor his mother, honor his brothers, and say how proud he was of them. But he waves his arm towards him and says, "All of you guys out there, you're my mother, you're my brother, and you're my sister." Now, the good news is, you don't see in the Bible where the Bible says that Mary, when she heard these words, became highly offended and would not speak to Jesus for the next 5 months. The Bible does not say that. We got to realize that Jesus Christ loved his mother so much that not one bad word about from Mary out of her mouth towards Jesus ever happens in the Bible. Anything that Jesus said was said with tact, it was said with wisdom, it was also said with revelation. And Mary knew that, and Mary loved him, and Jesus loved his mother upon the earth. Amen? So, notice it does not say again these words again. She tried to say, "I'm offended, I don't want to talk to you anymore." We can see in scriptures that Even Jesus' family were at odds with him from time to time. The Bible says at one point during Jesus Christ's healing ministry, miracles happening, demons being cast out, his own brothers come to the parents, come to the household and say, take charge of your son. This guy is totally out of his mind and he needs to be committed. That's how bad things got in the family of Jesus Christ. Even his own close brothers, sisters, and mother sometimes might have wondered, what is this young man doing to stir up all the crowds of Israel and bring all this bad press into his life? It's hard to separate a child, though, from his mother as far as their heart is concerned. And you're going to find the Bible, no matter what Jesus did, Mary always had his back. Mary always loved him unconditionally. And Mary could not separate herself from the love of God, love of Jesus, inside of her own heart. I've heard it said one time that whenever a mother gives birth to a baby, that cord, and umbilical cord, of course, is cut in the natural realm. But in the soulish realm, there's still a cord that's attached from her heart to the kid's heart as long as that child lives upon the earth. Amen? No matter what that kid does, good, bad, or ugly, the mother's love is unconditional towards that child, and she will ever love that child as long as they live upon this earth. Mary probably thought, you don't know him like I do. I know I see him teaching, I see him preaching, I see him doing miracles and wonders. You may say some bad things about him, but he's not going to get committed. He's not insane. He's not loony. You don't know him the way that I do. I know he's the Messiah. He is the Son of God. A really tough saying also that Jesus gave was this. He said, if you want to follow me, you need to hate your mother and even hate the members of your own family. Why would Jesus say a radical thing like that? Because what he was trying to say was, what he meant there was, your love for God needs to be so great, so high, and so strong that the love for your family compared to that looks like hate. Because love for God is so high, it is so far up here, comparing that love to your family's love must be so far apart, it even looks like hate. He wasn't literally saying there to hate your family and hate your parents and hate your brother and sister. He was saying there's no comparison between the love you need to have for God and the love you have even for your own family members. And what he's trying to say there in a big picture was this. To be my disciple means sometimes you got to go against the grain of your own family members and put me first and obey me first and know I have your best interests in mind is what God says. Amen? Let's delve now into some of these conversations that Mary had with Jesus. We're going to look at these conversations and ask ourselves again, what does God say to us that are here, gathered here today, by the conversations, the pictures that Jesus Christ draws in these three conversations? Let's look now at number one. Write down your notes this morning. The first picture here is this. For those who are mothers, who are females, especially that are women here today, that are going through a difficult season, don't give up. Don't give up. For those who are going through a difficult season, don't give up. Being a mom is a tough job. Amen? You got to take, and even the mothers didn't say amen to that. I guess it's getting easier. But from what I've seen with Cheryl, with Kristen, with those around me that are mothers, mothering is a tough job. It means you're working 24/7, 7 days a week. You're actually on the clock all the time. When babies wake up 3 and 4 times a night, guess who's there? The mother. When kids need diapers changed, they don't smell so great, guess who's there? The mother. Whenever the grocery store is very far away, but we're out of milk, we're out of Pablum, we're out of whatever, guess who goes to the grocery store many times? It's going to be the mother. The mother is praying for the child, the mother is loving the child, the child is sick, the mother is the first one there on the site, normally there. It's going to be the mother doing those things. Mothers work very hard, and they're worthy of honor, even double honor. Amen? So in this story now, in the book of Luke, we're going to look there in Luke chapter 2, we see that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus have traveled from their hometown in Nazareth to Jerusalem for the Passover, 80 miles of journey over 3 days, 26, 27 miles a day for 3 days. They travel 3 days, they camp out for several nights, they fight crowds, they fight fatigue, they fight all the hustle and bustle around them. And now the Bible says they're now going back home to Nazareth. And it says, when they get about one night's journey, they're going to camp that first night going home. Mary says, where is my son Jesus. I can't find him anywhere. They look around frantically. He's not with the uncles, not with the aunts, not with the relatives there like I thought he should be or could be, because these guys grouped, they actually traveled together in groups, so it wasn't unusual to not have Jesus with them along the way, the 25 miles they walked. But now they say it's nighttime, it's time for us all to come together in our tent and camp together, and we don't see Jesus Christ. They make the 26-mile journey trek back to Jerusalem, and the Bible says they look for 3 days, and they finally find him. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 picks this up, and it says, "Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of all the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at the understanding, the revelation, the answers he was giving at age 12, young man. So when they saw him, they were amazed. But his mother, notice this, was not amazed. And she says to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.'" In the Greek language, that means we were scared out of our wits, and we're at our wits' end about having a nervous breakdown. What in the world do you think you're doing? Anybody been there before? And Jesus said back to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Jesus Christ at age 12 is now a preteen. He's getting more and more independent, even in the natural realm. And many of us that are here today that have preteens or have had preteens or have had teenagers, we realize that they start saying things, we just don't understand what they're saying. The judgment part of their brain is still being developed. They're mouthing out things, they're saying things, they're having ideas, they're having desires for future conquests. We say, where in the world does that come from? Why do you want to do that? Why are you speaking like this as well? It's an age where we also find ourselves telling our children time and time again, speak up, speak clearly, speak plainly. I don't understand what you're saying. At this age, young men and women tend to find somebody they respect and begin to emulate them somehow, some way. That's why I encourage mothers and even fathers as well today, be praying for your children to be drawn toward the people that they should respect that are of God's making. Amen? I don't want my young girls emulating Lady Gaga. It's not a great role model. Amen? Even Beyonce. Even folks, again, that are involved in things of all kinds of wild living. I'm praying to God that even though the world around them emulates them, loves them, thinks they're the gods of the earth, God is saying, try to find those people that actually emulate Jesus Christ. And I pray to God that our children, our youth, somehow, some way, will start showing respect or have respect for those who will actually help to shape. Hello? This sounds good. Just a little solar flare. Just a little. It's probably Mary in heaven. Didn't like what I said right there, so she kind of shut me down. Come on, Mary, give me some grace. Mary, give me grace. Mary, full of grace. Amen. Moving on. What I'm saying here is don't give up. Your children that you have in your household, what they are today, may not be what they're like in the future. Amen. We raised 3 teens ourselves. Our kids are all in their 20s. One's in their early 30s. And so you might have saw in our 13 years now pastoring this church, as our kids came here in their early teens, even pre-teens, perhaps like Sarah's case especially, we didn't talk a whole lot here about raising your children, because the fact is we're being watched here and the proof is in the pudding, and they were the pudding. I don't want to start saying things about how wonderful kids could be, and our kids are becoming like little devils on earth, amen? And you say, what about your kids, okay? Because I know you folks out there read Facebook, so forth, so on, and sometimes our kids are on those lists, and things are said, seen, so forth, so on. But now that they're beyond our grasp and our reach, they're in their 20s and 30s, I think they've turned out pretty good as far as serving God, loving the church, loving God's people goes. And I'm saying we've learned some things back in the teenage days, though, that even though our kids were doing some things that we kind of found were off the rails as far as we were concerned, that did not define their entire lives. They were only going through a season in their lives. And because of God's faithfulness, because of our prayers and our faith and God working with us, when they got off the rails a little bit, God brought them back in by the power of His Spirit. And I'm saying to you, mothers here today with preteens or teenagers that are doing some things that astound you sometimes in negative ways, do not give up. It is only a photograph, a snap picture today of what they're like today. They can change, they will change, and they will snap out of it in Jesus' name. Amen? I believe that's true. It'll take place. Don't give up on them. Do not give up. God's not finished with them. I told the congregation here in years past, I've been here now 13 years, and I've told the folks when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 20, my church in Wichita, Kansas, I was going to, on a Sunday night, kneeling at the altars, tears coming down my face, speaking in new tongues and new languages. The piano player comes off the piano, Susan Ott, gets right in my ear, praying with her hand on my shoulder and saying the words, "Thank you, O God, the most unruly member of the whole church has now come into your kingdom." Just edifying words, you know. And I, like I said before, the first thoughts in my brain really were, I know at least two folks in this church right now that are worse than I am. I can name them and name their sins because I run with them. And so, but I didn't say that. I kept on speaking in tongues, right on praying, right on crying and so forth, and kept on moving forward to things of God. What I'm saying is even the most unruly member of the whole church can come into a place of being on fire for God, right with God, loving God, and serving God somewhere down the road. And it may be next week. It might be this summer. It might be next year, but it will happen. It will take place. Do not give up. Amen? So, this guy here is lost. He's now been found once again. We all know when people get lost that are kids of ours, it's a terrifying thing. I met a little Christian back in South Africa. She was only, about 2 years old. And South Africa is not a little bit more wild than America in many ways. They have more kidnappings take place, more child abductions take place. And when children get kidnapped there, it's very serious. It can mean sex trafficking for them. It can mean being raised in a foreign country, being whisked off to some other nation even. And so we're out shopping somewhere in a clothing store, I think it was, and pictures taken, yeah. And all of a sudden we look around and Kristen's nowhere to be seen, about age two. And we are looking for her frantically. By the grace of God, she has somehow got herself in the middle of a circle or a group of clothing, was in those things somehow, some way, and could not be seen. And then somebody found her there and drew us and brought us to her. That was a great relief in our lives. Amen? When children are lost and they get found, it is a good thing. So, here comes the mother of Jesus. "Son, why have you done this to us? We're about to lose our minds and worry because of you." And the good news is Jesus Christ did not lip off and give a smart aleck reply and keep on saying things that were of a kind of a shaded nature. He gives the final good outcome all parents want to hear is something like this. Verse 51 and 52 say this. "Then Jesus went down with them, and he came to Nazareth. He was subject and submitted to them, but his mother kept or treasured the memory of all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men." This should give all of us hope that, again, our children may be off the rails right now today, but this does not define the rest of their lives. How many can say yourselves, now that you're in your 30s and 40s, perhaps, or beyond that, you had your own seasons getting off the rails, but God helped bring you back in Jesus' name. Amen? I'm saying don't give up on your children. Number two, second snapshot picture is this. For those going through a great season with your children, stay a while. Stay a while. For those going through a great season, victorious season, good season, stay a while. The good news is there will be good seasons as you raise your children upon the earth. Amen? We can find ourselves, we can be so preoccupied sometimes by little nuisances on the earth. We sometimes miss the great things, the good things that God does among us and our kids are developing around us, and sometimes not see our grandkids or our kids going through this because all the little nuisances, little foxes are spoiling the vine. I want to be there when our child says his first dada. I want to hear that first dada come out of his mouth. Amen? I want to see that first time they get potty trained. No more diapers on their bodies anymore. Amen? That's a great day to celebrate. I want to see that first tooth coming out. I want to see them take their first step upon the earth. I want to see them go forth and begin to express for the first time gratitude for what their mother has done for them upon the earth. Little August, about 3 or 4 months ago, spent half the day at a place called Chuck E. Cheese with his own mother named Kristen. The end of the day, they're going to bed. Little August, for the first time ever, tells Kristen, "Mommy, I had a good time today. I want to thank you so much. I just love Chuck E. Cheese. I love you, Mommy. Thank you so much for August, have a good day. You know, the day's going to come when your child can start actually forming sentences and saying things of gratitude for what you do in their lives. Amen? It may take place in their teens or their 20s, but they will release gratitude back to you in due time. Amen. So I'm saying let's celebrate, let's cherish those good times, let's be there for those good times. Let's don't get so involved in little foxes, little nuisances around us. It totally overshadows all the breakthroughs and the great things our kids go through as they're being raised upon the face of the earth. From age 12 to age 30, the Bible does not record anything about Jesus Christ's life. We don't know about his teenage years, about his early 20s, but I do know the Bible says he grew in favor and knowledge and stature with man and with God. So he was studying, he was learning, he was doing things that people respected him. Favor came upon his life. So I'm sure that good things happened for Jesus in those teenage years as well. Then at 30 years of age, the Bible says he gets led out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He receives an anointing from God. He gets tempted by the devil in three big ways. He passes every temptation. And the Bible says he comes out of there under the power, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. He does 3.5 years of earth-shaking ministry in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, his first miracle is about to take place. He finds himself going to a wedding in a place called Cana. As a side note here, as a pastor who's gone to many, many weddings, I want to say some things right now about weddings. First of all, at every wedding I go to, there's always, it seems like, someone there with their agenda. Uncle Tom or Aunt Susie, whatever else. It may be politics. It might be save the whale. It might be an old offense about a past Thanksgiving dinner where a big explosion took place. Weddings are not the place to voice your opinions and stir things up when the families come together. Amen? Weddings are a place where the bride is always tense. She's always on eggshells. She's got millions of things she's thought about, she's thinking about, she's going to be doing there. Also, the bride's mother is also totally tensed up. She's got so many things she does behind the scenes, in front of the scenes there as well. Now, the groom is like as loose as a goose. He's smiling, he's grinning, he's laughing. He's got his buddies there, his best man's there, his best friends are there. It's all a big party as far as he's concerned. He has no clue what took place behind the scenes for months and months to make this wedding happen. Amen. Am I right? So what I'm saying to you guys is weddings are about the bride. It's not about you. It's not about your pet peeves or your past offenses. It's about the bride. So I'm saying for that time in the wedding, put all your agendas aside and totally focus on the bride and her mother and make it as easy as you can for them during the wedding. Amen. When the wedding's over and they're in the car and they get their McDonald's meal from their dad. Did you see that commercial? It's probably true. And at that point, have at it. Let a war break out, whatever. I'm not really here, but I'm saying it's all about the woman, the bride for the most part. Now moving on here. Here's Mary who tells Jesus they've run out of wine. Let's see what it says in John chapter 2 now, verse 4. Next picture. Jesus says to her, "Woman." Now right there, that gets you in trouble in Texas, amen? You don't call your mother woman. Now I think in the Greek language here, in this culture, he's not being disrespectful at all. He says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." How many folks know, though, that mothers normally know the hour for their kids? They normally know many times before their kid does what season they're in and when it's time to push them forward into something new. So verse 5 goes on and says this. His mother Mary ignores what Jesus just said and says to those servants around him, "Whatever he says, you do that." Somebody said there's a time where every boy and girl must stand up and tell their mother, I am old enough to decide for myself. Normally around age 45. Amen? So finally this day has now come here where I must decide for myself, but he listens to what his mother says, he ponders it, he thinks about it, and he says there, fill up all those pots with water. I'm going to turn the water into wine. Praise God. She believes in Jesus at the very beginning part of his ministry. No one believes in us more than our mothers believe in us. Amen? And I'm saying praise God that mothers will encourage us. They will compliment us. They will be there for us when we're going through times of testing upon the face of the earth. They will push us forward to be our best upon the earth. Praise God. John chapter 2, verse 12 goes on and says this. After this, he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, his brothers, his disciples, all the party came together, and they did not stay there, it says, many days. But the Knox translation says this. There they stayed for a few days. What I'm saying is don't move too fast when good things take place in your child's life. They go to Capernaum. They stay there for a few days. They chill out, and they celebrate the victory of the water turned to wine and also defeating Satan three times on the tail end of 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. It's time to slow down, smell the roses, amen, smell the Starbucks, and say, praise God, let's just chill out and enjoy the moment in Jesus' name. Last of all, number three, for those going through a heartbreak season, don't give up. For those going through a heartbreak season, don't give up. As the Spirit of God was speaking through Cheryl this morning, and in this message also, I believe, this morning as well, I know there's at least one person here today who can say truthfully from Mother's Day last year to Mother's Day this year, there has been some heartbreak in your life. We say to you, don't give up. The best is really still yet to come. Mother Mary at the cross, is now seeing her own son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, bleeding in pain and agony, total shame. He's been spit upon, been beaten beyond recognition, blood coming down his toes, down his feet. The very baby she caressed is right now before her, being tortured, dying and in pain. The young man that she saw cast out demons, heal the sick, and do miracles is now there in total agony, about to die upon the cross. And there is his own mother, Mary herself, waiting at the foot of the cross, saying, I still will not leave my son. At his worst moment, I will be there because I am his mother. No mother should outlive their child, amen? No mom should see their own child die as well, like she saw her own son die. There may be those here today whose heart could be broken because you yourself have suffered from infertility, from barrenness, cannot have children in the natural type realm. Those may be here also today that have had friends betray you. You might have gone through a divorce or gone through something there where you had a financial setback take place. Whatever the heartbreak cause may be, the good news is we have a friend that will sit closer than a brother. And his name is Jesus Christ himself. Because he knows what heartbreak is, he can minister to heartbreak even more so today inside of your life and inside of your heart. Amen? Some of you folks that are here almost have also lost a child. They've died by miscarriage. They've died by a tragedy. Or they've almost died by disease, by sickness, like Lexi's child, little Elijah as well. That brings tremendous trauma to any mother's heart. I say it for myself, our own child as well, about 9 years ago. I know what it's like to almost lose your child at a very, very young age. It brings tremendous trauma to your life. Back when I was only 10 years old again, my own mother died. It was the month of March. I remember when May came, when Mother's Day came that year in public school, I was in fourth grade. Only 2 months had gone by. Now the teacher is very, very sensitive there. She knows I've lost my mom only 2 months ago, and it's now time for all the kids to come together and make a Mother's Day gift for their mothers in the class. It was so awkward, I think for her even so, it was so delicate. I remember even to this day, she had the whole class do something for their parents in a kind of a sidetrack type way there to do something for their mother, father, their brother, sister, whatever else there, and made things as easy for me as she could make it for me there because she knew there was a fresh wound in my life she did not want to touch. It's hard going through things like that. Let's read now John 19, verse 25. John 19, 25 through 27 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman,'" there's that word again, "'behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own house." Do you realize that in his biggest pain, he cares about his mother's pain? He cares about her needs being met. And he says, "John, whom I love so much, I want my mother to be in your house. I don't want to see her being lonely or in despair or in need as long as she lives on the earth." And praise God, in history they tell us today, in Ephesus, there's a great church there planted by the Apostle Paul that had 5,000 people. John became the pastor of that church, and Mary lived in his house by that church. And that house is still there today in 2016 in Ephesus, a nice big house where Mary lived with John all the days of her life until she died. They kept that covenant, kept that promise. God took care of them. What provision does God make for you and I that have go through broken hearts perhaps in our own lives? Let's read what it says here in Psalms 34, verse 18 on the screen here as well. Psalm 34, 18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit." You may be asking this morning here, if God is close to me in my adverse circumstances, why could God not have caused those adverse circumstances not to happen in the first place? The real question should be, what did God maybe keep me from that could have been far worse if I'd not gone through those circumstances? And the better thing also is to say, God is not finished with me yet. This thing will pass, and God will work redemptively. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn somehow for the good. Amen. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds." When I was a little boy, about 9 years old, I learned how to ride a bicycle for the first time in Kansas. And we had gravel driveways back in those days. And many times I'd go flying into the driveway on my bicycle, and I'd spin out, and I'd slide, and I'd skin my knees and skin my elbows almost 3 times a week. The first one there I'd run to was Mother. What does Mom do? Mom pulls out the hydrogen peroxide and makes the pain get worse. And all the bubbling thing comes up, and all the filthy, yucky stuff gets washed out. And then she puts in the oil and the wine and the bandage. And sometimes a scar develops, depending on how deep that wound may be. But I've heard it said that scars are like tattoos. But scars are better than tattoos because every scar has a story. And the story is, I survived. I survived. Amen? Last of all, Psalm 68, verse 6. As James comes here to help me out of the platform, Psalm 68, verse 6 says this, "God sets the lonely, the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity." Mary would have been lonely. Jesus Christ on the cross makes sure, "I'm going to set my mother into a family that all of her needs be met till the day she dies upon the earth." Her own husband, Joseph, probably died at a younger age. And so we don't really see in the Bible how he died there, but Mary was by herself. But Mary was taken care of by John. And praise God, Jesus Christ is faithful and a friend. This is closer than a brother. As you close here in prayer this morning here, would you please take, and this right now again today, close your eyes, bow your head for a moment to think about these last things I say here at the close of the service. I'm asking this morning here today, which picture may describe mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be, single women? Which picture today describes your life right now with your grandkids, your kids you have in your life? Is the one that says, "I'm going through a difficult season. I'm saying to you, don't give up. I'm going through a great season, a good season, victorious season. I'm saying, stay a while. Don't rush it. Enjoy the time of victories. I'm going through a heartbreak season. I'm saying to you, God heals, God delivers, God sets free, God is faithful. Mothering is not for the faint of heart. I'm saying that God's grace is sufficient for mothers every day, no matter what they go through on the earth. These last thoughts are this. For those mothers who are new mothers, we bless you in Jesus' name. For those who are wanting to be mothers, we believe with you it shall come to pass in Jesus' name. For those who are raised by godly, responsible mothers who are selfless, we rejoice with you in Jesus' name. For those who had abusive or absentee mothers, we say God heals you. God cares about you. For those who lost their mothers, we're saying God's grace and comfort be with you in the name of Jesus. For those who want to be grandmothers and aren't grandmothers yet, we bless you in Jesus' name. And may it be also to you in God's grace and God's timing. Last of all, for mothers who lost or almost lost your child the past year, we say God's strength and God's grace be on you. And may God's blessings overtake you and his presence overwhelm you in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, O God, this day, a day to honor mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, parents, even children, Father God, that are in this congregation. We speak blessings again today upon the mothers of this church. And Father, we say, O Lord, let your grace be upon them. No matter what season they're going through in life, they will not give up. They will not speed through the good times. They will not reject or resist the healing work of the Holy Spirit if they're going through a broken heart. And I pray for those right now today who may be brokenhearted in this place. I say, Father God, you are the comforter. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are the God that knows every detail of our lives. And Father, I pray, God, let your love and grace be upon these mothers who've gone through conflict, who've gone through betrayal, who've gone through loss, who've gone through, God, the times of rebellion in their face. I say, Father God, let them realize it's not going to be like this forever. This thing will pass in Jesus' name. I pray, God, you bless the husbands, the fathers that are here. Help them, God, be a support to their wives, to bless their wives, to bless these mothers, to take up, oh God, the slack, and to be sensitive, God, to the needs they have in their lives. Let the blind spots, oh God, be shown to us who are husbands, who are grandfathers. Help us, God, be those who make the load a little bit lighter for the mothers around us. And Father, we give you praise and thanks for all these things. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen and amen. I'm going to ask, is Therese still here? Therese Brocker, are you still here? Could you dismiss us in prayer today? Just pray whatever prayer you want to pray. If you do that, please. God bless you, mothers that are here. Don't forget about the strawberries that are on, is it both sides, Cheryl, or one side? They're on both sides. There's chocolate and vanilla, white and dark, both. That'll be a blessing to our youth. Have a great Mother's Day. Letting you guys out of here 5 minutes early to beat all the Baptists, the restaurants as well. Amen. And if you can come back Wednesday night, be here. You'll be blessed and learn some good things from the teachings to take place Wednesday. God bless you. We'll see you guys back here in a few days, we hope.
Amen. Well, I must confess, I was hoping that Pastor would ask me to close the prayer, the meeting. I would just like to share this with you before I pray. But I heard many years ago, it was Jan Crouch on TBN, and she was met with roses at some airport in Russia. And someone had told her that roses are symbolic, that what you're doing, the Lord is with you, right? He is the Rose of Sharon. And so... This weekend, my husband planted me my first rose garden I've ever had. Normally here for Mother's Day, we've received bracelets 1 year. Sometimes it has been carnations. This year, it's roses. I believe the little scarf Miss Kristen had on was roses. And the Lord is saying that he is with this church. in where Pastor is leading this church. And I'm not judging here, but I just want to say I feel we should really be so grateful for pastors that allow the liberty of the Holy Spirit here. It is not so in a lot of charismatic, tongue-talking churches where the Holy Spirit is set at liberty here, and he is very welcome. So I just wanted to share that with you all, and God bless you, mothers, you precious mothers and grandmothers. It is such a privilege. We thank you, Lord, for the honor and the privilege and the grace to be mothers, be grandmothers, stepmothers, mothers to other children that aren't ours, neighbors' children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your wisdom for mothers. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for each other here. Thank you for our precious pastors, this worship team. Thank you, Lord, that I just feel in my spirit that at some time that worship is, it's so high now, the high praises, the worship to the Lord. It's just going to keep on going through the whole service. It's just going to be liberty and let the Holy Spirit through the whole service. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God bless everybody here. And special, precious blessings to you sweet, sweet ladies here, mothers and ladies alike, in Jesus' name.